I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Yes, it's that time on a Saturday when after the action, you give us your reaction to what you've just witnessed, or listened to, or overseen from a distance. However you took in your football today, I'm still sure you'll have an opinion on it. So 0141 951 1025 is the number as always. And I'm pretty certain, Hugh, the headlines will be Celtic drawing a blank at home to Hibs.
Yeah, of course it will. Celtic are 10 points ahead of Rangers. That is likely to be reduced to 7 tomorrow. A Rangers team who are having a dire start to the season and a manager not wanted by the support. The performance by Celtic at home today has to be unacceptable. You look at the strength and depth in the squad and it's highly questionable. Hearts are now 2 points ahead of Celtic and look a better team than Celtic. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're a Celtic fan, you'll be disappointed. I know there was a 12-minute silence. But they dominated most of the game, just couldn't get the breakthrough. I think the substitutions will be highly talked about, Gordon, and I think that's the problem with the squad. You know, you're bringing on young Kenny, James Forrest. These guys that probably, if you'd have got your transfer market right in the first place, probably wouldn't be coming on the pitch. But well done to Hibs. They went there with a game plan. Terrific point. Kilmarnock, great away victory up at Tannadice against Dundee United as well. St Mirren just keep turning over results. You've got to say Hearts are in a real bit of form just now, and I'm certainly looking forward to Motherwell and Aberdeen later tonight.
Yeah, again, a brilliant result for Hearts, first and foremost. I think they're in really good form. I approached that game professionally, got the job done in the first half and kicked on and made sure they got the 3 points. But again, when you look at Celtic Park, I think a lot of the Celtic fans will be frustrated with, as Daz said, the subs that come on and just the impact that they've probably had. Again, you've got to give Hibs credit. They've went there with a game plan. They've sat and made it difficult for Celtic, and Celtic couldn't find that breakthrough and have dropped points.
Whether it's today's action, tomorrow's, or something else entirely, it's the same number. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what did you make of today's performance? St Mirren fans, a good win for you. Why not share your thoughts? Anyone heading in to Motherwell, Aberdeen, we'll hear from you as well, if you don't mind. And of course, tomorrow, Rangers fans, every single night and day at the moment, we've got a whole heap of negativity from you coming through in the phones. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow? Let's dive in with Chris, who's first up. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Sorry. How you doing? I think it's just blatantly obvious Celtic did need to replace the players that were sold. Couldn't Kyogo, Matt Riley. The day they created enough chances, they just couldn't get it in the back of the net. The one they did get chopped off for offside. So I think the board's sitting with egg in their face.
Again, Hugh, I think this always becomes about the bigger picture as well, quite quickly, because I'll repeat what I said there. I think in isolation, like, you can draw a game 0-0 at home to Hibs. Like, we can't fall into the trap of thinking Celtic are going to win every single game. They never have. They never will. But if there's a feeling that everything's rosy and you're in good form and you do it, you can brush it off as a one-off. But for fans like Chris and maybe others, they're fearing that this is something a bit deeper.
Yeah, I think there are concerns in many different ways at Celtic. As I said, that for me, the captain has been a wonderful performer, but is a diminished power now, Callum McGregor. They miss Alistair Johnson at fullback. They let Greg Taylor go. How much the Celtic fans must miss him now. Never gave him credit while he was there. And all over the place. I know it's early days, but Balakwisha looks miscast as a Celtic player. I thought Tinicky might respond to his first game at Celtic Park. Didn't. Iheanacho has already done his bit with goals against Red Star Belgrade and getting the points at Kilmarnock. He will be better still. But Arne Engels, it's no longer a cliche about giving him time. You know, he looks nondescript all over. I just see an ordinary looking squad, an ordinary looking team.
The only thing I will say, Gordon, the minute Celtic drop any points, especially at home, the board are always got to get the blame of it. Celtic created a lot of chances today, according to Gab's Celtic.
Well, yeah, I think just the stats tell you it was a game Celtic should have won but didn't.
They bossed the game, they had all the possession. Hibs made it very difficult. You've got to try and capitalise on one of those chances. It just didn't work for them today, but as much as it's disappointing for Celtic, I don't think it's a massive disaster for them. If they'd have turned up today and Hibs looked the more threatening side and they were off at Celtic, they weren't sharp, they weren't creating chances, I can totally understand the frustration. But they were.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. It's not that today is a disaster. Of course it's not. Even in our dramatic world, it's not. But the fans are maybe worried that it's more symptomatic of wider issues about the strength of the squad and maybe where things are at.
I totally agree. You've seen the substitutions coming on. I think that if Celtic had a better transfer window, no disrespect to the guys that come on, I think you would have had probably better quality coming on the pitch to change games. That's where, under Postecoglou, I thought Celtic were brilliant. They made their substitutions, and Brendan Rodgers done it as well when he had a real good squad. He was making the substitutions and they were making such a big difference. They were coming on and winning games for him.
I think what it does, it just highlights, again, not getting that victory, not getting that one goal. Listen, I think it would be different if they managed to sneak a goal and they got over the line, because we've seen them do that quite a lot, where they've had loads of possession, loads of control of the game, loads of chances, and they eventually find that breakthrough. But I think it just highlights the little bit of lack of quality within their squad. When you look at the guys that are coming on, it's maybe not the impact that Celtic fans are actually looking for, and guys who aren't making that impact aren't able to go and get that goal that unlocks a tough Hibs defence. And I just think it's just the frustration that's around the club at the moment. It just highlights it a little bit.
Is that the problem, Chris? This is all just feeds into that wider picture. I was thinking back, you know, most seasons at some point, quite early on, I remember St Johnstone coming and drawing 0-0 early in a season. Obviously Ange Postecoglou got off to a famously slow start. I mean, these things can happen. But is there a fear, Chris, that this is something you might see more often?
Kelly, it was a dodgy penalty to make Celtic win. And then you go back to two Champions League games and then the draw against Rangers. This isn't a one-off. Wake up.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
It's not a one-off.
Yeah, but it's also is officially a domestic one-off, because you can say what you like about the penalty, but it's, you know, they still won the game and deserved to win it.
You're going out of your way to not fully acknowledge what Chris can see.
In what sense? I was the one that asked Chris, is this a worry that this might be the start of a repeat? So how is that going out the way if I asked him that this might be a worrying sign of things to come?
Chris goes to the games and can see with his own eyes that the squad, a very good team, has become a very ordinary one on the back of transfer windows that Celtic cannot conduct properly. And that squad, as it appeared today against Hibs, will not sustain Celtic to a title.
I agree.
Hearts are going to win the league?
That squad will not sustain Celtic to a title.
That squad has lost one goal. Look, I totally agree that they could be stronger and they should be stronger, right? But over a piece and course of this distance of a league campaign, Celtic will probably go and win the title, because they've got better players than what Hearts have.
Celtic
got.
Need a big transfer window in January, but the very subject of transfer windows makes the club look laughable. So they need to try and find somebody who can find them a player or two in January. But the squad, in its present form, is
so you don't think
not
they're good
strong.
Enough for you to go and win the league at this moment in time?
If Celtic didn't sign another player between now and May, that squad wouldn't win the league.
Yeah, listen, I think they have got a strong enough squad. I think we're probably, and listen, the Celtic fans are frustrated. I think there'll be probably a slight overreaction from today, because certainly from when you look at the stats and you look at the way the game went, if they had scored that one goal, they had enough chances to score. Yes, it's always a concern when you can't get the ball in the back of the net, but the bigger concern is when you're not creating chances. That's a bigger concern for me. And Celtic are creating chances. They eventually will get players, I think, made. They'll find form at some point, and players will get better. So I still think they have enough to win the league.
Yeah, sure, Dan. And the reason I'm saying it is, and listen, I love the way Hearts are going about their business. But right now, you're not telling me Hearts got a better squad than Celtic.
Let's ask Aidan for his thoughts. Take it away, Aidan.
All right, panel, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Nah, I've seen better days, to be fair. I feel like, obviously, the transfer window was terrible for Celtic. Like, I don't know how many years you can go on with losing your best assets and not replacing them properly. I think the board's saving grace this season's probably been how terrible Rangers have been. But you can't keep letting teams around you spend money and expect them not to catch up eventually. But obviously the board do take a lot of stick for the lack of transfer activity, but I feel like the Celtic team that went to Munich in February never came back. Like, Celtic have been labouring through games for the last 6-7 months. It's continued into this season. It's not ideal. I think that McGregor's played 60-70 games a season. We've not got a replacement for him or a backup. So you can't expect players like that to play week in, week out and be 100% all the time. It's just frustrating, because you watch teams like Motherwell, Hearts, they're playing up more attractive football than Celtic are at the moment. Like, they're more enjoyable to watch than we are.
Aidan, Celtic lost the cup final to a very poor Aberdeen team. They couldn't beat Karat Almaty, home or away. They couldn't score a goal against Karat Almaty and therefore didn't make the Champions League. I still maintain they got away with one in Belgrade, because I thought they were fortunate. Good goal from Iheanacho, brave second half performance, but they're not winning the big games and the squad is severely diminished.
The nil nils are adding up, clearly, when you look at the European games, the Rangers game today.
That's a frustration.
Just quickly on the transfer window that Aidan says, though, I wonder if we'll never be able to change what happened in the Champions League, and the argument there was about the timing. You know, it wasn't done in time, but the 5 million spent on Tonetki, there was 5 million spent on Balakwisha. Iheanacho, yes, it was a bit of a farce at the time, but all of a sudden it looked in the last couple of games like that was going to work out.
Good
for Celtic
business,
come
yeah.
in. So can we keep harping back all the time to the window? Does there need to be a level of responsibility to actually the identification of players? I mean, I'm thinking someone else mentioned about Matt O'Reilly was never replaced, and 11 million was spent on Arne Engels. It's not like there's not been an attempt.
And that's part of the problem, Gordon.
That's what I'm saying.
Greg Taylor, for me, has not been replaced. Engels, this whole...
But Taylor there, was
do you not think a fit Tierney's an upgrade in Greg
Taylor?
Well,
we need to wait till we get a fit.
Yeah, but he's getting there. He played 90 minutes against us. He played 80 minutes.
It's different, though, because Taylor did suit the role so well.
Celtic missed Taylor. Engels, the argument that all give him time. Well, time is passing by, and Engels is going backwards, not forwards. Paolo Bernardo, clearly not rated by Brendan Rodgers, given that he gets very little game time. All over the park, you're looking at signs of regression, signs of a dip in quality, and the remainder of the Europa League will be a real trial for Celtic, beginning with Braga on Thursday.
Is that, Aidan, on the flip side, on another day, you play this game 10 times over, the stats would suggest Celtic probably win it, and then we're not having this conversation. Is there any part of you that thinks it was just one of those days that didn't happen in front of goal, or is this all a big worry?
To be honest, usually I would be on the more positive side and think that's just a one-off performance, but like you've said, we've seen the same performance from Celtic maybe 3 or 4 times over this season.
But that's what I mean. Was today not better than that? You know, there have been some really kind of, like, Celtic never looked like scoring in those games, but did today. You know, if we're talking just pure performance level, no.
No, because it's still too passive. Like, we look afraid to get on the ball and be positive. The amount of wasted passes going side to side, backwards. Like, I'm genuinely sick of seeing our two centre-halves step out and play the ball to the full-back. Like, under Ange, like, you would have so many rotations, so many different passages of play where we are creating goals and killing teams. Like, under Rodgers, probably since February of this year, we've looked a shell of a team. Like, the way Celtic started the season last season compared to how we finished it and how we've started this season, it's night and day. And I know for a lot of people, the board are to blame because they've not replaced the players properly, but Rodgers has got to take some of the heat because he's still got a more than good enough team there to canter to a league title, and we look as if we're struggling. We look as if we're labouring through every game.
Let's ask Paddy his thoughts. Thank you, Aidan.
Hi, good evening, panel. Good evening, Gordon.
Hello.
Guys, I clearly was watching a different game from that of your previous two callers and that Hugh was watching, because you know, the performance, it was an excellent performance. It was you know, Celtic were playing very fast, fluid football. Even with the changes that went throughout the team today, there was excellent balance there, and we did everything but score. I mean, you know, okay, you see, you know, you hit the bar a couple of times, you get a goal chopped off, and you miss some glaring opportunities. However, the fact of the matter is, the players, you know, they got themselves into the positions to score, including Kenny, Iheanacho as well. It was one of those days. Now, had we not created those chances, had we not been confident on the ball, had there not been this, you know, constant forward press, because, you know, let's face it, Hibernian had their backs to the wall for the whole of the game. Now, that's not to discredit Hibernian in any way. However, you know, I personally thought Celtic's all-round play was excellent today.
There is a conversation there, isn't there, about the balance, because everybody knows it's just about getting results. You would obviously rather play poorly and
win.
As an example, I reckon that was a better Celtic performance than the one where they beat St Mirren.
Yeah,
on opening day of the season.
So it's
obviously trying to strike that balance. You're Celtic, you can't go celebrating good performances when you don't win. But to use that comparison, Celtic played better today than when they beat St Mirren.
Yeah, and everybody's given all the plaudits to Hibs, how they've started the season. Okay, they've tailed off it a little bit, but they've still got some good players there, experienced players. They made it very difficult. Look, you're going to get some times where it's a frustrating day. It sounded like a frustrating day at Celtic Park. We didn't witness the game, but by the stats, Celtic were in total control of the game, missed chance after chance. And another day, Celtic probably walk away there maybe 2-0 or 3-0, whatever it may be. But all credit to Hibs. They worked very hard. They got their well-deserved point. I agree. I don't see this Celtic team being, you know, I thought they could have been a lot stronger. I think one or two players are still to find their feet. They're obviously missing two very key players, and Alistair Johnston at right back and Jota, which gives them something extra as well, especially going forward. But I'm not going to sit here after six games and Celtic draw 0-0 with Hibs and think, oh, Hearts have got to win the league. I don't believe
Paddy, that. Does it not look like there is a bit of a drop-off though in quality at the top end of the pitch when you see maybe some of the changes and some of the players that are having to be turned to?
Well, you know, guys, we'll see. We're just a few games into the season. And of course, you know, We do have a new strike force. I like that that front line of Maeda. You'd passing on the other side. He didn't have a great game today, and of course we've got a new striker, an actual in through the middle. And I thought they really did look a potent force. I just have to say, you know, likes of Sebastian that's on the right wing,
Tanetki.
Yeah. I think we've got to manage him carefully. He's more or less, I think his body clock's coming down, winding down to the end of his season. He's played all year. He played in the Scandinavian League. He played all through the summer. You know, so I think he's going to have to be carefully managed. But all in all, guys, I mean, I think we're in an excellent position. I would be surprised at the end of this, at the end of the season, if we're not, you know, won that league by 20 odd points.
What?
You know, but, yeah. I would be surprised. But the other good thing is Celtic have money in the bank to go out in the transfer window. And by all accounts, the board fully agree with the disgruntled fans in the sense that they want to do things better and they are going to strive towards putting in place measures that will allow us to do that. Now, I don't agree with the fans that say you've got to spend all the money. You've got to spend it all. You've got to spend it all now. Nonsense. I'm concerned with domestic dominance. And on top of that, obviously building towards putting a competitive team in for the European competitions, whatever that way may be.
I know I get criticised on this programme for exaggeration, but Celtic to win the league by over 20 points is an unrealistic, ill-founded, ill-judged reaction.
You'd probably get better odds on that than Hearts winning the league at the moment, though, wouldn't you?
Well,
so we just need to wait and see.
You might
be right, Celtic, but we'll just need to wait and see.
So we
won't need to wait and see.
Celtic to win the league by more than 20 points is a nonsensical observation to me.
I don't think it'll happen either, but I'm saying there is literally no choice but to wait and see.
Dazzler talks about other days. They started with St Mirren at home, very lucky to get a late goal off a deflection. They went to Kilmarnock, very lucky to get a penalty that never was a penalty. Went to Ibrox, got away with one because of a VAR decision that ruled out a John Souter goal.
Which correctly. So how's that getting away with one then, if it's the right decision?
Just, I'm pointing out days to you when this Celtic
But I'm asking you, how is a correct offside decision been identified getting away with one?
Only in the sense that you're an inch or two away. These things happen. They got away with one at Kilmarnock because they get a penalty that wasn't a penalty and was given by VAR.
But you're talking about all the negatives here about getting away with one and everything. They dominated the game today.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they got away with a 0-0 draw. They dominated the game, a game they should have won.
We're very late for this break, so thank you to Paddy. We're about 5 minutes late for it, in fact. 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. What about tomorrow at Livingston, Rangers fans? How are you feeling? Big game at Fir Park tonight as well. Keep going in today's 3 o'clock. So it's up to you. Give us a call. We'll speak next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell, and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, Brian is on. How are you, Brian? What did you make of it today at Celtic Park?
I didn't really get a chance to watch it because I've not got it on my television. I'm just following up about the last caller about Celtic winning 20 points at the end of the season, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. That's just impossible. But my point is this transfer window, if Celtic had a decent transfer window, got the players in, this game today, it wouldn't have been, it would have been talked about, but knowing the rate that it's talked about this and that and the transfer window.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to get to the point where it could get to the players. I know that some players don't really listen to outside noise, but some do. And it's just any time something goes wrong, it's just the usual scenario, transfer window. Can the Celtic, I know the Celtic supporters, I'm a Celtic fan, and I'm not best pleased about it, but I've kind of managed to let it go and just back the team because what they're doing, it's not exactly right on the team and it's not right on the players. If you're going to back your team, you back your team through thick and thin, which I've done through my life. And it's just Brendan Rodgers, I know the press conference coming up, and there's going to be some journalists coming up saying, what about transfer window? This keeps coming back to the transfer window, and it's nobody wants to talk about that. I would love to forget about that and just concentrate on what we've got.
Yeah, it's just so difficult though, because I think Brian started by sort of explaining the reasons why it sets the tone. Those are the circumstances by which I don't keep repeating it to let Celtic off the hook today. It's about realising where we are. You can draw games of football. Mm-hmm. Celtic won't win every game, but when you do it after that window, it's then sort of inevitable that it'll go there. But Brian's wanting to maybe try and shift it forward a bit.
Again, he has to speak to his fellow Celtic fans, because the Celtic collective, and as you pointed out earlier, that amounts to an awful lot of Celtic supporters. They won't let the subject drop. I'm trying to take the broad overall picture here and summarise it by saying Celtic now have a squad that looks to me modest in quality, where once upon a time they had a squad that was, you know, capable, as everyone mentions, going to Bayern Munich and almost getting something there. They have diminished in quality, visibly diminished in quality. You're still ending up, and James Forrest is the most decorated Celtic player in the club's history. However, James Forrest is now being put on more often than James Forrest should be on. And Johnny Kenny, it shouldn't be at the stage of Johnny Kenny being on the park. And I will say that £10 million was spent on Tunekte and Balakwisha, and Tunekte has looked promising. Balakwisha, so far, and I have my learned friend Gordon DL's word for it, will never amount to a Celtic player. And in general terms, the squad is regressing, and regressing badly.
The difficulty, I suppose, when you maybe do have an imbalance, you do have certain areas, because as Hugh quite rightly says, Tunekte looks like a success already from the transfer window, given the circumstances around it. Ian Atcho looks, I think, certainly better than people maybe thought.
Better needer. You've got to see an upgrade.
But then what happens is you fall into the trap of thinking, I think the previous caller mentioned it, just start Tunekte every game, play him the vast majority of the minutes, and he, you know, he'll make it work. When football was not like that, he was maybe a bit quieter today.
Yeah, I was surprising, because I think every Celtic fan going along to Celtic Park today was looking forward to seeing him in the big pitch, because his two games were Kilmarnock away and Partick away.
Point. So he prefers Astro or long grass.
yeah. And I think the excitement was to go and say, on the big pitch, with plenty of possession, we'll get the ball to him and he'll destroy Hibs. But it didn't happen. I think Hibs obviously done a little bit of homework in that. Maeda played off the right-hand side. Look, I agree. I think that when you look at some of the substitution, you look, for instance, where Hugh, I think, picks up on a good point, and I've been looking at him for the last couple of weeks now, especially in Europe as well. Callum McGregor, you can't criticise Callum McGregor. He's been brilliant for Celtic. But there comes a time when I think that some players just need that little, take them and sit them in the dugout for a couple of weeks. Celtic fans will probably be shouting, oh, we can't do without our captain. I don't think Callum McGregor's influencing games the way that he used to, and he's been a brilliant, and he's still going to be a brilliant player for Celtic. I'm not writing him off, but I look at guys like Bernardo's and people like that, they're not getting much game time at all. Kenny comes on today, and look, everybody was crying out the fact that, hold on a minute, Ralston was injured, Johnston's injured. Donovan came on and played a few games at right back and was excellent. I thought he was brilliant the other night. So sometimes the younger players have to get the opportunity. On another day, I think Johnny Kenny scores. He created, he got a few chances today. He scores, and it'd be a completely different story. I don't think it's as bad as what it is, but I agree with Hugh that it's not as strong as what it should be.
Let's thank Brian and stay in Burmullock, though, where Scott also resides. Go on, Scott.
Don't know where to start with, guys, to be honest with you. I'm hearing people talking about we hit the bar twice. Yeah, one was a cross shot and the other one fair enough, a decent strike. The manager takes off in the actual, where I think it was about half an hour to go, and all he does is moves guys in the middle of the park and brings on James Forrest. 10 minutes later, he then decides, ach, no, that's not working. Let's take Dyson off. We'll bring somebody else on. So he brings Johnny Kenny on, puts him in the middle of the centre forward. The same Johnny Kenny that's not played since the nothing extra at Ibrox, by the way. So he's had no game time. So if he's missed a couple of chances, he's missed them because he's probably not sharp enough. Other point is, we've now
just
grown...
on that, what would you have done, yep. Scott? What would you have done? What would your changes have been?
Well, I've been on the programme before, and you know what I'm going to say? I'd went to two up front and go and win the game.
So what, Kenny and Maeda? Or...
Yeah, no, Kenny and any actual. Yeah, I went into any actual off.
Jinky's got these 90 minutes consistently in him at the moment, given where he's been and not played and stuff. Do you think that's maybe a consideration?
Well, how do you get the 90 minutes by playing 90 minutes?
Well, look at Kieran Tierney just now.
Yeah.
Kieran Tierney, since the start of the season, has played 190 minutes against Partick Thistle. The modern day game, listen, I'm with you. I'm no arguing you against your point, because it really baffles me at times. But modern day game is... managers and sports
scientists.
Managers and sports scientists manage players. You've seen it with the young right back today. Why was he not playing?
If because it's form only, he plays today.
100%. Yeah. 100%, Gordon. So I understand what you're saying, keep him on, but there'll always have been a game plan this afternoon that if he didn't get injured, he would play a certain time and then they would make the substitutions.
What else are you thinking, Scott?
Bill, that's 10 matches. We've drew four of them, nothing each. And another one each. Can the manager not see that his formation's getting either found out, or it's too stale, or it's too static? That's 5 matches out of 10 that we've drew. And by the way, the 2 games against the team at Almaty was nothing short of disgraceful. The lack of attempts we had in target over both of them. And we were lucky to get a win down at Kilmarnock as well. So out of 10 matches, we've had 5 draws and 1 win. We were lucky. How can the board take the brunt for this when the manager steadfastly refuses to change his tactics? They threw Johnny Kenny on the day in desperation. As for Paolo Bernardo, somebody else commented about that. That guy's been treated like a pariah for some reason. He's hardly been on the pitch. Yet last season, 20 minutes. 20 minutes. This season, nothing. So you tell me what's going on at Celtic Park, because it's not just all about the board. I'm really, really angry with this. I've been going to Celtic Park since I was a little kid. I've my season book nearly over 40 years now. And I'm watching this manager, and he gets away with murder with some of the way he talks, the way he makes players. He sends players out for no apparent reason. They don't get any game time. Somebody needs to do something, because I'll tell you what, it's not all on the board. Not all on the board. No way is it all on the board. The manager's got to stand up. We lost to St Johnston. We lost a cup final to Aberdeen. We get put out of Europe by one of the worst teams I've seen play at Celtic Park.
What's the St Johnston defeat, though? What do you mean?
Last season, St Johnston defeated Milton Park. Dermot Park, sorry.
Yeah, but that's not consequential.
No, anyway. But I think, Scott is symptomatic of a Celtic support. And Scott's coming up the stats about goalless games, drawn games. And... rightly bringing Brendan Rodgers and the players into the conversation, because 2 games against Almaty, a total of 3.5 hours, no goals. It's all symptomatic of a squad that is in regression, that does not have the quality required. There's a concern over transfer windows. January, you might have the chance to bring in better players, but... and this is where the board and those who are responsible for that, Scott, have to come into the conversation. You couldn't trust anyone to buy anyone for Celtic right now. The way they're going about their business, good players are going out the door and inadequate players are coming in.
Yeah, but Scott's right, and I totally agree with him. I think everything gets pointed at the board, and I understand why in the protest. Totally get it. But Brendan Rodgers has still got decent players at his disposal that he should be doing, and Scott's rhyming off games that he should be doing a little bit better. I know everybody haps on about, oh, hold on a minute, they lost the Scottish Cup final at Aberdeen, a poor Aberdeen. They won the double. They won 2 trophies that season. They were going for a treble.
See, if on days like today, because I know we like to broad brush everything, and I kind of get it, but on days like today, if your failure to win is down to chance conversion rather than chance creation, do you think those are the days where the formation should have changed? Do you know what I mean? You change your formation, I don't know if that makes you score those chances. Listen, I think Scott's right. In other games, some have looked really quite blunt in an attacking sense.
Again, you can go back to the Champions League games and the Old Firm game. Again, really blunt, no really any great deal of chances. But today they had enough chances to win the game. They absolutely did.
And that doesn't make it okay, but I'm talking about specifically the formation. Do you change the formation today?
What you're saying is quite right, Gordon. they created the chances playing the formation they played, right? They could have still created the chances with a 4-4-2, but still not taking them. But it wasn't the formation today.
It wasn't today.
No, it wasn't the formation. I know what Scott's saying. Sometimes everybody, I'm a great lover of 4-4-2. I love it. But managers don't tend to do it. But today wasn't a formation mistake from Brendan Rodgers. But I do agree with Scott that Brendan Rodgers shouldn't get off scot-free here and just point everything at the board. He's the manager. He's got good players and a lot of money there.
Squeeze Aidan in quickly. Thank you to Scott. Go on, Aidan.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, Aidan. What did you make of it?
I thought the second half was pretty rubbish, which everyone's been saying. But I actually was thinking the first half was probably the best half of football that we've played all season, which I don't know if itself should be concerning. But I thought it was the exact kind of way that we should be playing. We were quite relentless in that first half. And I don't know what it was about the second half, but the second we stepped back onto the pitch, we just reverted to the same kind of side-to-side, recycle-the-ball kind of style of play.
Because it's funny, Cammy, we never look at really what the other team do in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. It's the supply and demand nature of the argument. Hibs have not kept a lot of clean sheets. Nope. So on one hand, you can say that's terrible from Celtic. Everybody scores against Hibs and you haven't managed to. On the other, it looked like Hibs really prioritised that today. We talked about the changes where Grant Hanley comes in, and it felt like that was the bit they really wanted to put right. And then if Celtic are off it in an attacking sense, yep, and Hibs are at it in a defensive sense, that's probably why it led to what we got today.
Listen, a point at Celtic Park for Hibs is a good point. So I think David Gray, you're right, Colin, by saying that David Gray prioritised the defensive display before going on the attacking display. Yes, he would have wanted a spring in his attack when they got the ball and a transition to go forward and threaten the Celtic goal, which they didn't offer at all, to be honest. But again, you need to give Hibs credit. But it's not an excuse for Celtic, because Celtic face this a lot. They face this a lot at Celtic Park, where teams come, frustrate them, sit in, ask them to break them down, and once that one goal comes, they have to then come out.
Thank you very much, Aidan. Sorry it was short and sweet. We're running late as always. It's a busy Saturday. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow, Rangers fans? And we'll get kick off from Fir Park. A big night particularly for Aberdeen, and it is coming next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, Cammy Beller here. We're kicking off between Motherwell and Aberdeen. We're looking back on today. What about tomorrow, Rangers fans? Or Alan, in fact, who's a Livy fan. What are you thinking, Alan?
I'm thinking it's a great opportunity for Livingston to get something out of the game tomorrow in the form the Rangers have been in. All of our home games this year, we were away at Dundee last week, and we didn't really start playing until well into the second half. We gave Dundee two goals at start last week. And in all fairness, they're not a great team. And if we'd been playing to our full potential, I think we would have won that. But I believe tomorrow might be Rangers' first victory of the season against us in the league. I just think they'll be too strong. Although Davey's got us playing well. When we do play really well. We played really well against Hearts, and we're unfortunate not to get anything out of the game. But I just think that Rangers might be a bit strong.
Listen, and they may well be. We keep saying it, Hugh, and it's really boring that people want better analysis than this. Yeah. Rangers will win at some point. They just cannot simply keep going on. However, you would, at the moment, that's what you're using as your case. Not you, anybody. That's what we're using as the case, rather than any sign really domestically that the Rangers would win.
For me, tomorrow, about attitude of mind, they've taken yet again a pounding since Thursday night when they were very poor. The manager is taking beyond a pounding. Now, you know, no one likes to go to Livingston, no one likes to play there on a Sunday, no one likes their pitch, on and on it goes. These Rangers players have got to somehow find an attitude of mind that makes them illustrate the difference in class between Rangers and Livingston. Rangers are players who cost millions of pounds to assemble and don't look it. Livingston have the usual guys from all around the place, but Davy Martindale turns them into a team. So the longer the game goes on, if Rangers haven't scored, the more difficult the day becomes for them. And that has to be Livingston's approach to the match. Keep it stalemate for as long as you possibly can.
It's got to be a must win for me tomorrow. I'm looking, I know we're not even in October, but I'm looking at that league table. Hearts got another 3 points today. I think we'll fancy Celtic to eventually go and win the league. So if you're looking at Hearts there and you're trying to get catch into second place, you've given them a 12-point start already. That's a lot of points to claw back. And as much as there's a lot of games still to go, especially with the squad that Hearts and obviously Celtic are favourites for, in my opinion, to win the league. So I think this is a must-win game for Rangers tomorrow at Livingston.
They're all must-win games for Rangers. I mean, they go to Sturm Graz Thursday night, and they have to hope that Europe doesn't turn into a nightmare, where once Europe used to be the shining light for Rangers, even though they were poor in domestic competition.
Is there anything that Russell Martin can... It's funny, for all the negativity, we don't really debate the team too much. You know, it goes back to what I said earlier a few hours ago about it's just like all on Russell Martin, really.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? We don't... For a team that's struggling so much, we don't really get much of... He should play instead of him, or he should come out. Is there any, what?
Listen, I think he has chopped and changed at points, and it's just never worked for him yet. So again, that's probably why we're not debating it. We're debating him and his decisions and his tactics, the way that he's playing, the style that he's playing, because he's not getting results. Will Mikey Moore play tomorrow? I think it's time for him to drop out of the team. I think again, Antman's not really had a huge amount of game time since he's joined the club. He had that first game where everyone thought he was going to be unbelievable player for Rangers, and again he's been pulled out of the team. So for me, Rangers are massive favourites tomorrow. They are. There's no getting away from it. Where they sit in the league is a false position for the team that they've got.
And he's got to bring Majorski back in.
He's got to, yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
No. £8 million rising to 10.
Does it matter who it is at the moment if Rangers keep the ball away from them as much as Majorski, they have in recent games?
I think Majorski scores tomorrow if he plays.
I think he gives you a lot more. So I think he'll be back. I totally agree with young Moore. I think he's really struggled since he came up. He's a young kid, he's 18, he's come up with this big reputation. Listen, Scottish football, to come up, it doesn't matter if you're at Tottenham and everybody talks about how much you're going to be worth and your career you're going to have. Scottish football is very difficult.
All right, let's thank Alan giving us the Livingston perspective. What about the Rangers corner with James in Drumchapel? James?
Hi, how are you doing, guys? All right?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. Tomorrow, I'm actually feeling going to Livingston. I've seen better teams than this go to Livy and struggle, but under Russell Martin, I can't see anything other than Rangers dropping more points tomorrow. My main concern is having a manager that is telling the world that our players are scared. I have never heard that in my puff about a Rangers team, that Rangers players are scared to go and play against Dundee and Motherwell's and Livingston's. If that's the case, they shouldn't be at the club then for me. And that is my major thing, because you think David Martindale and Big Marvin Mora, do you think they're going to say, oh, well, we're scared? Don't get near them, guys. They're going to be in our faces tomorrow, but knowing full well that we can't handle it. And I think with Russell Martin's tactics, I think he's very arrogant. He won't change. We're no Manchester City. We can't build for the back. We can't play these 6-7 passes to get ourselves out. We end up putting ourselves into more damage than anything else. And I just think that going forward, Martin should have been sacked 3 months ago. No.
When are you sacking him 3 months ago?
But he should never have got the job back.
Ah, right, okay, all right. I thought you meant like just in and out in the same day. Right, okay, fair enough.
He should never have been in for me, because it's just an absolute embarrassment. We've turned into another laughing stock again. Now, a Celtic team get their finger out and win, I think they play tonight. If they win, there's a chance we'd bolt in the league.
Yeah, going round in circles a bit on the sort of atmosphere and what that's doing, because James is right, there was the anxiety comment. I don't know if is that an Ibrox thing for when Ibrox turns?
Self-preservation comment.
Tomorrow goes to Livingston, so it's not a home crowd, but it almost will be, because you know what Livingston's like.
It'll be
three quarters probably, maybe even more Rangers. So I'm interested in that side of it as well, Hugh. Do the away fans tend to be a bit more vociferous as well? Is there more anti-Russell Martin stuff? I don't know.
Oh yeah, there'll be plenty of that before the game even starts. I think back to St Mirren and Paisley, the day famously when Igermani refused to go onto the park, and Rangers, you know, St Mirren scored, were dominating the game, and Rangers looked intimidated by it all. They can't be like that at Livingston, or James and any fellow Rangers fans will really be at the end of their tether. But it already looks as if there is no, I mean no, Rangers supporter who has any hope left, so long as Russell Martin is there, and no Rangers supporter who is willing to give him any more time. So if they drop any points at Livingston tomorrow, I don't know where they go. You need to bring Andrew Kavanagh back from Philadelphia and say, look, are you seriously telling us that this is it for the season?
Look, James is mentioning one of the key points in his mind. He shouldn't have got the job in the first place. So therefore, if you already have that mindset and it starts badly and it gets even worse somehow against Livingston, then James, he's...
How many times did we see it in this programme? When he got appointed the manager, the first thing we were all saying is he's got to hit the ground running.
Yep.
Because there was so much negativity round about him when he came in to the job. So if that's the case right away, and James is saying he shouldn't even have the job, and by the way, he's not alone in saying that, then you've got to be successful early in your...
But Russell Martin, again, every interview he hears from now on is that the Rangers fans didn't want me in the first place. That's his throwaway comment. He throws it out there and lets the Rangers fans hear that. For me, it's just not been good enough. And again, tomorrow is massive for Russell Martin. It's massive for the players. Again, the scared comment, I don't think goes down well with players. I really don't. I think there's guys in that changing room, James Tavernier, that's played 500 games for Rangers. I think he's been in worse positions where, again, a lot of the criticism was getting directed at him, not just the whole team and the management staff. So, listen, I don't think the players go on the pitch scared. I think that he's got to take a little bit of responsibility with his tactics and the way he sets the team up.
You can't see a win tomorrow then, James?
My heart will always say aye, but I just don't know, guys, because going to Livingston, especially on that, you know, the artificial park and stuff like that, I know we keep bringing it up and stuff like that, right, but it is a hard place to go. Livingston don't make it easy for you at any time of the year. And like I said, I've seen better Rangers teams go there and struggle under, like, Steven Gerrard and under Van Bronckhorst as well, with them better teams then. But it's just, I just can't get to grips with the manager. For me, I just think it was a poor appointment. With the buzz about being taken over. Now, don't get me wrong, I think anybody that was coming in to take that job, it would have been a gamble and a risk appointing somebody. But we needed a figurehead. We needed somebody that was going to get in about that dressing room. And the players, they need to take half of the blame as well for me. However, that then comes down to, I don't think the players that he's brought in are good enough to be Rangers players. I can't name one person you can say, well, do you know what? He's all right, or he's decent. Sorry, I'll say Miofsky, right? But we don't play to what Miofsky's strengths are. Miofsky's strengths are get the boy on the tap and let the guy run over it and hassle people.
James, that's the biggest worry of all. Because if you do get rid of Russell Martin and bring in another guy, and he can't get them forward, then you've signed players who are no use to you.
Goalless at Fir Park at the moment. Motherwell with most of the ball, but Aberdeen with the only two shots on goal so far. And I'm going to hot foot it there for the second half.
Ready,
so
steady, go.
We will
come on then, let's
and
go.
Leave you. The GBX is up next, and the guys are back tomorrow as well. Enjoy your Saturday.